All right. You know what? What the song? No, there's nothing too wrong with you. The thing is, God's not asking you to change yourself. If you could have done it, you would have done it. He wants you to be willing to be a vessel that He can put on the potter's wheel and form in His image and be used for His glory. Honor, there's vessels for honor and some for dishonor, it says, which I think that's just lesser vessels, but it doesn't make any difference. We're all called to do a certain thing. And He didn't ask us to change ourselves to get ourselves in that place. He asked us just to submit to His workmanship. And that's what we're doing. So, all right. We got a prophet's corner this morning, 12:31-23. Goodbye, 23. I'm glad to see you hit the door. It was a year that I do not want to repeat. But 24, as we were last year, we have high hopes. This morning, we're going to look at the Master Builder. It's the Prophet's Corner Uncut. I am the Master Builder, the Lord says, the Apostle, the Architect, not of a temple made with hands. It is not like the tabernacle that Moses built or the temple that Solomon built, but it is a spiritual house orchestrated by the Spirit of God Himself. This house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and I am the chief cornerstone. The book of Hebrews clearly lays this out, going from a natural temple made with hands to a spiritual built habitation, a temple of the Lord. I told the leaders of the day when I was on the earth that if they would throw down the stones of the temple, that I would raise it back up in 3 days. This is what I'm doing as the master builder in the earth. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 right quick. Starting with verse 1 there. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Apollos was also an apostle. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So God has every one. It's just like we are living stones being built up a temple of the Lord. We all have different things that God has for us to do. One plants, another waters, but God brings the increase. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. See, Paul came in and laid the foundations, others came in behind him to build further on that foundation he laid. Like, in other words, the walls go up. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, if you build upon the foundation, Jesus, it'll remain intact. If it wasn't, Paul said, take heed how you build. If you just build whatever you think, it's going to burn up. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. All the indoctrination of all the religious junk, God says, is foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. All right, Webster here, architect is a master builder, an architect. A person who designs buildings and advises in their construction. A person who designs and guides a plan or undertaking. They don't do the actual work, but they do the planning. They get the blueprints with the help of the prophets. All right, we're going to look at a couple scriptures here in Hebrews, because the Lord said that in the book of Hebrews, it clearly lays out coming out of. I'm curious who wrote the book of Hebrews. A lot of people think Paul did. I kind of think maybe he did. Why it's not named, I don't know. But it is. It's about coming out of a temple made with hands into a temple made up of lively stones. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. Over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which is offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, it took Jesus to finish it. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, it could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in the meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge with your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know what I like about Paul? He'd say, I'm the apostle Paul, not called by a man, but called by God. The man was not taught by the established religious system. No, God taught him on the backside of the desert. What more fitting way to build his spiritual house than to have his training be directly from God? That's how it's going to be again. It's not going to be these religious institutions and these ministers with all these diplomas and all of this wisdom, so-called, but no power. No power to live a holy life. That only comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. The only way. God's temple. All right, with that, go over to Hebrews 3. If we could change ourselves, you know what? We would have already done it. We can't do it. This is all a Holy Ghost operation. All of it. All right, verse 1 there. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't get the plan from the priest. He got the plan from the Father, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. In Moses' time, he got what he got from God. Not about anybody else. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not built with hands. As I have been stressing you for some time, that we are a spiritual house, not a religious institution. If a fellowship will not move with the Spirit, then according to God's word, that candlestick will be removed. Now, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches everywhere, every town, city. What's going to stand? What God's built. All right, Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church, verse 1 of Ephesus, write, these things which he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, he walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. These are his churches. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. One thing about Rick Renner's book about apostles and prophets and their play in the last day church, he says. He's saying there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are calling themselves apostles, and they are not. He said there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are apostles that are not recognized as apostles. Yeah. God's apostles are God's architects. The prophets provide the blueprints. God doesn't do anything lest he reveal what? What he's going to do to his servants, the prophets. All right, that's Amos 3:7. I want to read Amos 9 to you. Kind of a cool passage of scripture. See, God was saying what he wanted to do in the old covenant by his prophets. They were still proclaiming. They were proclaiming today. They didn't just start doing it today. Today's prophets doing it today. They were doing it in the old covenant. It proclaimed Jesus' birth, Isaiah. All right. Amos 9, verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Does that sound familiar? Though they dig into hell. I don't know how far down the cities and the tunnels go. All over this earth. I see why God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. They're digging up everything. This earth is a mess. Let me read that again. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Satan's goal, bust that glass ceiling and get up there and overtake God on the throne. That's been his plan all along, since before he was kicked out of heaven. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, or Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight on the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. I heard something yesterday, and I'd heard it before, that the Whitehead Alliance has spent all of their money in, I won't say outer space because there's no such thing, but low Earth orbit and under the sea and underground, training the troops to fight under the water, to fight under the tunnels and fight up above. That's where all the battle is going on. All the secrets, all the bad stuff's been going on. But he said, I will command the serpent, he shall bite them. I wonder what serpent he's talking about. He talks about Leviathan several times throughout the scriptures. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, not for good. In other words, they're not just going to go to prison. They're going to die. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. All that dwell therein shall mourn. This is talking about this new heaven, new earth going to come. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And ye are it not ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Camphor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. Yea, saying that I will not utter destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will shift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. They are so arrogant, they think there's no way. There's no way you can touch us. Even Hillary Clinton, supposedly at her hanging, made the statement, you can't do this to me. I'm a Clinton. In that day will I rise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Now, Edom is the bad bunch, like Esau. Edom means red. When he was born, he was called Esau, red. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. I heard something yesterday by S. Gianon, and I was real impressed with this young man. A lot of people don't like him because he's kind of monotone and he's a brainiac. But he said, someone was saying, what do you see for 2024? He says, I see us coming into our kingship. In other words, he's a Christian. you know, are ruling as kings the way God intended. And I thought, right on, he's got it. A lot of people are picking it up. All right. You are a spiritual house. God is putting this together. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He's putting this together. This is not by happenstance. Not any of it. It may appear to be, but all of that's going to go away. It's all going to burn up. All of it. If it's not him, it isn't here. Now, I'm not talking it's going to turn around on a dime. We may have decades of this transition. That's why our work is a big job ahead of us, is what we're going to do is take in, clean out the rocks and stuff and all the junk, and then the gospel's got to be planted. The soil has to be prepared for evangelism to go in and begin to win the hearts of men. Just because the bad's all gone, you've still got people with these horrible mindsets that have to be changed, have to learn God's ways, because they don't know God's ways, especially this latest generation. The millennials are under, they're crazy, and they don't think straight. They've been so messed up. They don't even, you're thinking, what planet are you from? I mean, really, I'm telling you. I've never, every once in a while you hear something come out of their mouth, you think, oh, God. Talk about nightmare on M Street. All right, Colossians. Their minds have been completely renewed in this Babylonian system, even more so than ours have been. We still had some good training. All right, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. The king is coming, guys. I want to read to you the foundational scripture or mission statement of this ministry. This is our total and complete focus. This is 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Our goal is to bring people out of the strongholds of their minds so they can reign in life. That's a total mind renewal. Now you know why I teach the way I do. Years ago, the Lord said it's like phonics. When they quit teaching the children phonics in schools, they quit learning how to read properly and write properly. Phonics, what does it do? It's precept teaching. It's over and over, repetition over and over. It may be done a little bit different way, but just over, 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 over. Buzz the tower, buzz the tower, buzz the tower. Just keep buzzing the tower. Mavericks, time to buzz the tower. Just keep buzzing the tower until finally it breaks the stronghold in their minds. All right. The earthly minded, this is the Lord here, cannot grasp this or participate in this. Let me say it again. The earthly minded cannot grasp this or participate in this. To all of them, this remains a mystery. Natural men say there's nothing happening. Spiritual men say we're watching the greatest time in history unfold. And that round table I listened to yesterday, that Major Freddie, people would ask questions, he'd just go like this. And he's a spiritual man. Like, all right, the word, continued the Lord here. I spoke to you in a word of prophecy of a couple of weeks ago about there is a prophet apostle among you, and that I have given her the plan. Here is some of the plan. There are demonic ley lines all over the nation. Now listen to this one very carefully. There are demonic ley lines all over the nation. I will begin to instruct you on taking out these ley lines and replacing them with the kingdom ley lines. In other words, the one we took out from, you know, the state capital to the federal court. That's just one. I also said, Lord, send your angels to break up the fallow ground from the state capital to the federal court in Midland and bring in your kingdom workers to infiltrate. What good is it if we don't send the good workers in? All right. Pick up where I left off here. You will dispatch the angels to assist you in this, for they are my heavenly heavy lifters. This is beginning of the reconstruction process in this nation. See, if every team is doing their part in their jurisdiction, we'll get this thing done. This is part of the infiltration process. You go in, clean out the garbage. That was brought up yesterday about people, why is it taking so long? He's going, the person answering said, just imagine worldwide, the nastiest garbage and stinky everywhere. They're overwhelmed. And you ask, when is it going to be over? Just because a few years have passed? He said, we're looking at decades cleaning out the trash, taking out the trash of all this underground mess that's gone on. It's putrid. It stinks to high heavens. That's why this is happening. This isn't a little thing. In the natural, we understand, well, it took, what, Solomon, how many years? 40-something years to build that temple? And we want God just do it right there. Just do it. We quit asking the stupid questions. Quit being so silly. Help us, Lord. This is part of the infiltration process. Clean up out. You got to clean off. I remember when this first began, I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, cleaning out the closets. Every cubby hole that you know there's junk back in there, all over this earth, to the core, to the center of the earth. Who knows what they've done above? They say the moon's not the moon. You see it all over the place. Is it? I don't know. We don't know what all they've done. But I know this. They made a mess of everything. But the Lord said, I'm cleaning out the closets. He said, you know how you do? You clean out the closets. You take everything out. Everything out. Everything out. It's strewn all over your house. It's a big mess. You throw away some. Give away some. And then some's useful and you put it all back in. It's all neat and in order. That's the best way I know. When someone asks me what's going on, this is what the Lord told me. He's cleaning out the closets. And that's what the Alliance is doing. They've been doing it since about 2015. Some have been doing it 20 years before that. And we think we're just going to... No, we got a lot of work ahead of us to do what we got to do. All right. So, after all the junk's out, then you got to break up the fallow ground. Then what do you do? Then the gospel can come in. Start laying the seed for the harvest. Go read the parable of the sower again. Give a new light there. All right. Breaking up the fallow ground so that the gospel can go forth unhindered. Then the coming out of Egypt process can begin. My word will cause mine renewal so that my people can take baby steps the long way around so they will learn to trust me. Just because God is doing this, rather we be in the millennial kingdom or we're at the end where Satan was loosed and destroyed everything. Whichever part, there is a natural side to this. Y'all get it? We were made to live here forever. And we can't get most of the church to get off their dead gum suitcase and quit looking for a temple over there and this man stepping up. You know! Oh, it just makes me furious. Not at y'all. it. All right. About to blow. Okay. Exodus. Exodus. Chapter 13. Baby steps. I thought about, what about Bob? Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps to the store. Baby steps to the store. All right, 13. We're going to start with 17 there. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lips peradventure, the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So they keep going back in their minds. But God led the people out, or people about, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Well, it's a wilderness, tough sledding. We all know about that. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and camped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. So, baby steps. He led them. He didn't leave them. Night or day, he didn't leave them. What was he trying to do? Grow them up. Next thing we know, you know, the manna. To see, well, he said, I'm going to test them. I'm going to see, will they obey me or not? Well, some did, some didn't. All right. And eventually, when they finally got to where their destination was, two out of possibly a million or so people are the only ones he could trust. We may have a lot of this. Some people, they've just been that way so long, they can't ever seem to come out of it. These are mindsets I'm talking about here. All right, Exodus 32. I can just hear it all now. Just looking at the so-called truther movement and how the people are acting. They're worse than, I think, children of Israel. Right here. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together, and Aaron said unto him, up, make us gods which go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after it made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See, this is what we face if we do not get some change. Change has got to come. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. This is how they acted in the world, in the Babylonian Egyptian system. They just returned to their, like a dog to the vomit. Even though they'd seen the miracles, God had led them baby steps out of Egypt. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, and I don't know how many times I've heard this analogy with Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt for this time. Been hearing it for years. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Moses said, and Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. What did Moses say? No, no, no. Can't do that, Lord, no. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thou wax wrath hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Who's his seed? We be. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tabernacles of the testimony, or tables of the testimony, were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make me gods which go before us, or make us gods which go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and then I cast it into the fire, and they came out, and out came this calf. And Moses saw that the people were naked. I wonder what was going on. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even upon every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morning that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. He's pretty bold with the Lord, I'm telling you. You know, he kind of got on the Lord for being angry, but he threw the tablets down and broke them all to pieces. You know, he had an anger. Moses had a temper. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place for which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf and Aaron, that which Aaron made. So don't think for a minute that we don't have this kind of situation that's going to be presenting itself. But I think it's going to be a lot worse. Even though I figure they were doing the things that are going on now in Egypt, and that's where they learned them. Yeah, for sure. Even though their enemies were destroyed and no longer pursuing them, they still had Egyptian mindsets. They still walk like an Egyptian, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they had to be renewed in their mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why God is raising up his apostles and prophets, for we are about to undertake a huge reconstruction process in our nation. Even though God is taking out all the trash, the minds of men must be changed from Even though God is taking out all the trash, the minds of men must be changed for true change to come.